Welcome back, everyone, to the Dark Forest. If you're new to the channel, consider subscribing and click that notification bell so you never miss another video. A shout out to my channel members and my patrons, especially to Voltron76 and Matthew Bauer. Now, let's get spooky. When I was in my 20s, I took a job as a park ranger at a state park. It was the perfect job for me at the time. I loved working outdoors. Every day presented new challenges, and I got to work alone. On days when I could get my work done early, I would find a beautiful spot somewhere in the park and read or listen to music. It was therapeutic. I had just gone through a tough year. School kicked my butt, and I had just broken up with my long-term girlfriend. I needed an escape, and the park provided it. While working during the day was amazing, the night shift at the park wasn't as relaxing. Do you know how uncomfortable the night can make even the most comfortable spaces in your house feel? Well, the pitch black of Mother Nature is like that feeling on steroids. The absolute worst place to sit during a night shift was the North End Watchtower. Everyone who worked there called it the Sentinel, because it was massive and looked out across the whole of the forest that made up the park. It was tall, just over 100 feet above the ground, and made of old pine that seemed to retain the scent as if it had just been cut the day before. It was basically like a little cabin on top of really tall stilts. However, inside wasn't exactly like a luxury box. The wall that faced the forest was one large window that gave pretty breathtaking views, but was also really good at giving you feelings of vertigo. Inside, there was relatively meager furniture. One for sitting in good weather, and one insulated one for bad weather. An old desk, a single bare light bulb overhead, and a small fan to keep you cool. I always brought something to read or write because the night watch in the tower is dull as hell. It was quite a hike, too. It took about 10 minutes or so to walk the 10 stories. When you had to do it in the dark at night, it tended to take a little longer. Each story you climbed disappearing into the darkness below you, it could be a little bit unsettling. Once you're on top of the tower, your job for that shift is to basically look out for fires or anything else out of the ordinary. When there is a full moon, you could see so much of the woods. But when there was a new moon or cloudy, you couldn't see a damn thing. If it wasn't for the bare light bulb in the cabin, you couldn't see anything. Typically, you keep in touch with people on the walkie-talkies and just idle away for hours. I'm not just going to sit here and tell you that I never dozed off for a while, but if you had come to visit me on some nights, I might have had some sleep creases on my face. Most nights when I was in the Sentinel, I brought a book to read or a journal to write in. Basically, occupy my mind for the shift and ignore the dark. Rangers, especially older ones, love to tell stories about the weird crap they've seen over the years. People tend to think of parks as safe zones where the most deadly thing that could happen is an animal attack. And yes, while animal attacks do occur, most of the violence comes from people. Campers who are drunk will get in the fights or fall into fire pits, or get lost on their way to the bathroom. Drifters will sneak into the park and stay in unoccupied cabins or buildings. I can't tell you the number of times I've walked into squatters chilling in some distant ranger cabin and had to evict them. But one thing no one outside the world of park rangers likes to talk about is that the parks, especially at night, tend to be a haven for criminals. I know it sounds crazy at the outset, but it happens. Murders, rapes, drug activity, you name it, it happens. I was lucky to never deal with any of the more heavy stuff. A few times, we found drugs to be sold on a small patch of marijuana growing in the woods, but nothing horrifying. But if you've put your time into that park, eventually, you'll run across something that will haunt your dreams. Not too far from where our parks were, there was a correctional facility. It wasn't Alcatraz or anything that high security, but the people there were serious criminals. It was a distance away. On clear nights, you could barely make out the lights from the yard along the horizon. But it loomed large in your imagination. Your rational brain knew that any criminal would have to brave the National Forest in pitch black before they ran into you. But a tiny flicker of light kept a corner of your brain illuminated. It could happen. It won't, but it could. It was near the end of summer, and some of the staff had already split for the year. I was on for a few more weeks, but I was going to get night duty for most of the nights, since I was lowest of the totem pole. Worse, I would be on the sentinel duty those nights. I know having the least amount of seniority was the main reason, but I know that my boss and a few of the older rangers played poker those nights as well. Since I had no money or skills, I was sent up into the tower. As the sun was starting to set, I walked into the sentinel station at the park entrance. A few rangers were milling around shooting the shit. The day shift was relaying night shift things they should be aware of, that kind of stuff. It mainly was nothing. Not a ton of campers in the park this time of year. Just a few sights of bears nearby. Someone also swears they saw a bobcat but wasn't sure. But then someone walked into the station and the tenor of the night shifted.
"Excuse me,"
a woman about 40 said in an overly polite way. She was dressed in leggings, and my guess she was there to walk the trails. My boss, and wannabe Casanova, Jonesy, noticed the outfit and lack of a wedding ring and shot his 10-cent smile. "Welcome to Blank State Park. How can I help you?" he said, his words dripping with saliva.
Hi, she said, a little taken back.
"I wanted to report something. Well, maybe report is a bit extreme, but just want to make you aware of something I saw on the trails."
"Sure. What did you see?"
She shifted her weight, a little uneasy it seemed. I clocked in and thought it was a little unusual. Sometimes when people see a bear or a bobcat, two things that have been spotted recently, they might have their adrenaline pumping and be a little bit jittery, but this wasn't that.
It sounds crazy, but, I think I saw something stalking me out in the woods."
"I'm sorry to hear that. Probably gave you a bit of a spook," Jonesy said. "We've had a few bear and bobcat sightings lately."
"No," she said definitely. "It wasn't a bear or a cat. I think it was some kind of person."
"What trail?"
"Sandalwood Loop B, I think it's called."
"That's not that far from the new campgrounds and fishing cabins."
"It didn't look like a camper."
Everyone in the cabin had stopped talking and turned their attention to the woman.
She noticed, and you could see the red rush to her cheeks.
"What did they look like?"
They looked shadowy," she said. "Like they were afraid of the sun or something."
"And were they following you?"
"I caught something in the corner of my eye around the last turn of the loop. I stopped and pretended to stretch, and I saw something in the woods just off the trail. They were hiding behind a tree, eyeballing me."
"Jesus," Jonesy said. "I'm sorry that happened to you."
"Thank you," she said, her voice going soft. They followed me until I got nearly to the end of the loop. I started running then and lost sight of them."
Jonesy turned to the other two older rangers and told them to hop in the gator cart and check out the woods for anything. He told them to keep their walkie-talkies on and take a sidearm just in case. They left in a flash, and Jonesy turned his attention back to the woman. "Can you tell me anything that might help? Did they have any kind of identifiable clothing? Did they speak to you? Did..."
"They," she interrupted. "They made noises."
"Noises?" Jonesy asked, slightly confused.
"Yes, a few. They made a kind of chittering noise. And a faint, yelling kind of sound."
"Possibly cicadas?" another older ranger said. "A group of them can scare the fur off a cat."
"Maybe, I don't know. They also whistled, but not like they were flirting at me. It's like they were trying to blend in with nature.
Can you describe the noise?
She whistled something that I knew right away. That sounds like a wood thrush.
How do you know that? Jonesy said, not being able to help himself.
My grandpa was an avid birder. He turned his attention back to the woman.
Did you want to file a police report, or...
No, she said quickly. I don't even have that much information. I was just scared and wanted to let you know just in case.
Are you sure?
Yes, she said. I don't think anyone else was on the trail after me, but I didn't feel right not telling you.
I'm sorry that this happened to you here. The park is supposed to be a place to relax.
She laughed nervously. Jonesy shot her a calming smile.
Here's my card, he said, handing one to her.
If you change your mind, please call me.
She pocketed it and nodded. She turned to leave and then stopped. She turned back and, after a brief pause, said,
Something else that was weird. I saw this thing on both sides of the trail.
He crossed behind you?
I didn't notice him doing that, but he must have because I saw him on both sides.
Unless there was more than one of them, I said, instantly regretting it. Jonesy turned and gave me a, Jesus, dude, look, and I clammed up.
Do you need someone to escort you to your car, ma'am? No, I'm all right out there. Thanks, though, she said, and she walked out the door.
We heard her motor away a few moments later.
Sorry, I said before Jonesy could say anything.
He sighed.
No worries. Just don't go freaking out guests. We need people like her to come back.
People like or her to come back, right?
Was I too obvious? Jonesy said with a smile.
What do you think she saw? I asked.
A Wendigo, one of the other rangers said, and everyone laughed.
Having read about Wendigos and skinwalkers in a mythology class, I didn't find it so amusing.
Must have been her eyes playing tricks on her. If someone is out there, those two will find them. They're good at tracking, and whatever is out there, they couldn't have gotten too far.
Great night to be up in the tower, I said with a smirk.
That's probably the safest place to be, Jonesy said. No one climbs 10 stories if they don't have to.
I hung around for about another half hour or so to see what came of the trackers.
They came back and said there wasn't anything around the sandalwood loop. No footprints or anything they saw. Granted, the leaves had started to fall, so it was hard to see anything on the ground. But I trusted their tracking skills. Not going to lie, even with the guys coming back empty-handed, I was still a bit nervous about the shift.
Jonesy was right, though. No one climbs stairs unless they have to. This is still America, after all. Laziness always wins.
Also, there was nothing in the cabin above the trees except me, a book, and a journal. Nothing worth making the journey.
As the sun slid behind the horizon, I started my trek to the Sentinel. When I got to the platform at the bottom, something caught my eye. The tower base is lousy, with stickers, tags, and names carved into the pine. Usually it's a Joe plus Jane Foeva, or something along those lines. But what I saw that was freshly cut was a bit different.
It was a pair of eyes. Had the earlier events not happened, I probably would have not even noticed the eyes.
I chalked it up to my mind, already being primed to see some spooky shit. I assumed it had to be some kids from earlier, or one of the old rangers looking to give me a scare. Whatever it was, I did a quick glance around me before I started up the stairs. From the vantage point high above the trees, you could see storms come rolling in. Tonight was no exception. It was a waning crescent moon tonight, so it would be a bit dark, but those rain clouds made it pitch black. The only natural light I would be able to see would be the occasional burst of lightning inside the clouds. The wind was picked up too. You could tell because there was a slight shift in the tower when the winds gust.
Not a lot, just enough to notice. You get used to it, but when it first hits, it could be a bit jarring. There were a few wind gusts, but I settled in for the evening and stopped noticing. About an hour later, my walkie-talkie cracked to life. "How's the view?" It was Jonesy. "Great," I said. "We're about to do a pass around the park, just wanted to give you a heads up." I leaned forward in my chair and glanced through the window towards the base. I saw Jonesy and a few other rangers getting into their gator carts to head out. Their headlights were bright, but only because there was literally no other light down there. The beams themselves only saw a few feet in front of you.
"Thanks. You guys need me to scout for anything for you?"
"No, we'll be fine. But hey, if you see any wendigos, let me know, huh?"
"Funny," I said.
"If you hear any thrushes singing, run. Those boys should all be in bed by now."
"I'll keep that in mind. Be back in a half hour, 45 minutes tops."
"Over and out," I said, and I placed down my walkie-talkie and watched those tiny ants drive off into the woods and out of sight. I kicked back in my chair and started reading again. That's when I heard a board creak. At first, my mind assumed it was probably just the wind pushing the tower. It can cause a creaking sound in the tower, but my brain pushed away the fog of rationality, and a more terrible thought became clear. What if someone was outside the door? I would have heard them walking up the stairs, right? I looked around for anything I could use as a weapon. Outside of smashing my walkie or flashlight into this potential person's head, there wasn't much. If I did need to escape, light and communication would probably be a good thing to have. Didn't want to go ahead and break essential equipment. I grabbed my walkie-talkie and pressed the button. "Jonesy?" I said, trying to sound confident. "Jonesy, you out there?" I knew there was a chance he might be out of range. Sometimes these walkie-talkies could be wonky in the forest, and I was praying he would just respond. But the longer I heard the static, the less hope I had he could hear me.
"Jonesy, just curious if you guys had circled back this way."
Finally.
"Yeah, Ned forgot his light. We came back, but we're heading out now."
"Okay," I said. "Hey, odd question. Did anyone come up to the Sentinel by chance?"
"Just you," he said, and then added, "Why?"
Thought I heard a board creak.
"It's breezy tonight. Storm's coming in. Probably just the wind."
"Or the Wendigo," he said, chuckling to himself.
"Have fun," I said, ending the conversation. I put my walkie back down and stared at the door that leads to the stairs. The odds that someone would be walking up here to put a scare on me was remote. Like Jonesy said earlier, no one walks 10 stories unless they have to. But what if the woman from earlier had seen someone, or a group, and they were looking for a place to hide out? Would the Sentinel be a good choice? Maybe. I don't know how the criminal mind works. Regardless, for my own sanity, I would have to swing the door open to see if anybody was there. It was probably nothing, but I needed to be sure. If not, the rest of my shift was going to be miserable. I quietly walked across the cabin to the door and grabbed the handle. I counted down from 3 in my head and swung the door open. There was nothing there. In the distance, a flash of lightning crashed, and thunder rolled, but no person was standing there. I signed and then stepped out into the landing. You could really feel the breeze up here now. That storm was moving in quickly. You could smell the rain coming. The earthy scent that the raindrops stirred up was all around me. Even though I was sure nobody was outside the cabin, I wanted to check out the stairs just in case. I walked out over to the stairs and stared down. In the darkness, the stories below me just merged with the night. I couldn't see anything. I pulled out my flashlight and shone the beam down the staircases to the next landing. The flashlights we had here were decent but not ideal. Cops get 1,000 lumen flashlights to shine in your eyes when they pull you over, and we were lucky to get half that. It's not like we would need adequate lighting for working in the pitch black or anything. I walked down to the first landing and glanced around. Nothing seemed out of place. I flashed my light down to the next landing, and something caught my eye. The light reflected off of something on the stairs. Not unlike a toddler, I made my way to the shiny object. I was a little surprised to find a small piece of reflective strip on the stairs. I didn't remember seeing it on the way up. I would have picked it up and thrown it away. It looked like it had been ripped off of a jacket or uniform or something. But how did it get up here? The wind may have blown this up from the campsite, but that felt wrong. It was. I turned the climb back up to the cabin when I froze. On the railing, something had carved another set of eyes. I didn't move. I stood there as my brain tried to piece together an excuse that made sense, but it was failing. Even when I started to feel the patter of rain on my face, I didn't move. What the hell was going on? Fearing that someone might be looking at me, I clicked off my flashlight. I know I said earlier that I didn't want to waste essential tools, but at this point, I was ready to brain someone until the damn thing broke. The rain started to come down a bit harder, which helped to break me from my fagged state. I was about to start back up towards the cabin when I heard the footboards above me squeak. There was a crash of thunder nearby, and it barely registered in my mind. I was so tuned in to the symphony of pine stairs that a bomb could have blown off near me and I'd miss it. After what felt like 17 hours, I hadn't heard anything else. I relaxed a little bit. It was probably nothing. My mind was overactive, and I was red-stringing together desperate events into a cohesive narrative to scare myself. I was sure that's what it was. Then I heard something drag across the pine above me. It sounded like someone was gouging out the wood. I didn't know what to do. My legs felt like jello. I wanted to go streaming down the stairs, but I was afraid I would make too much noise. Plus, the idea of running down 8 stories of now wet steps didn't sound ideal. I slowly started making my way towards the stairs heading down, when the gouging noises above me stopped. After a slight pause, I heard footsteps head towards the door of the cabin. Someone was up there. I was sure of it. What they wanted to do? Well, I didn't want to think about that. I slowly started down the stairs, carefully not to let any of them squeak underneath me. I kept my flashlight off and just descended into the darkness. I reached for where my walkie-talkie should have been and cursed to myself when I realized I'd left it up there. As if on cue, I heard the cabin door swing open and heard an object crashing through the trees towards the ground. As it passed me, I heard the familiar static of the walkie. Whatever was in the cabin had just tossed my only lifeline to the outside world. Well, shoot. That wasn't good. I quickened my trip down the stairs. As I rounded the landing for the 6th story, I suddenly heard the familiar call of the wood thrush 3 landings below me. Only the thrushes were gone at this time of night. This was a person. He made the noise again, and it clicked as to why they gave their position up. He was signaling to the person above me. He was letting them know where I was. One above, one below. I was trapped. Above me, I heard someone start down the stairs. They moved slowly and steady, deliberate. Whoever was up there was coming down to me, and I had nowhere to go. I thought about jumping down and trying to grab a branch on the way, but knew that would end poorly for me in the best of scenarios and deadly in the worst. They rounded the 2nd story down. I was running out of time for a plan. I could run down the stairs and try to bull rush whoever was down there, but the rain was coming down harder now, and we could slip and fall off the tower. The only thing I had going for me was the darkness. I had the only light, and outside the occasional lightning flash, it was dark as hell. It would cloak me if I found a spot to hide. As he rounded the landing above me, I made a decision that, looking back, was one of the wildest things I have ever done in my life. I wake up some nights gasping for breath because I dreamed about doing this. The instinct to survive is so deeply ingrained into our animal brain that I suppressed all the fear I would usually have and just acted. As quietly as I could, I climbed over the handrail on the landing and hung off the side of the stairs. My feet felt for the handrail on the landing below me to help steady me, but my toes just grazed against the wood. I couldn't reach them. My arms started burning as they held my weight. I clawed into the wood with my hands, hoping my nails digging into the pine would counteract my wet palms. I closed my eyes, partially to shut out the pain in my arms and partially because I was afraid the whites of my eyes would get noticed. I heard the footsteps turn the corner and start to come down the stairs right next to me. I held my breath. My arms were burning, and I was so afraid I would lose my grip. The person took the steps one at a time, slow as possible. They were looking for me on the landing, but didn't see me. Suddenly, whatever it was started chittering into the darkness. A few seconds later, the wood thrush called back. The footsteps stopped coming down the stairs and started going back up. No, no. In a flash, a solution came to me. I used my right foot to kick off my left boot. Suddenly, I was glad I didn't take Jonesy's advice about keeping my laces tight as a drum. I kicked my boot onto the landing below me, and they landed with a heavy crash. The footsteps stopped going up the stairs. I freed my other boot, and it came crashing down next to their partner on the landing. It sounded like I was down there. The footsteps walked past me, heading down quickly to surprise me on the landing below. As soon as they rounded the corner, I called upon all the strength in my body and quickly pulled myself back up over the railing. I landed with a thud which gave away the ghost. I popped up and dashed up the stairs to the top of the cabin. I knew they'd be right behind me, so I didn't hesitate. In seconds, I was at the top of the stairs and outside the cabin door. I was met with another pair of eyes carved into the wood. They stared back at me, watching and waiting to see what I was going to do next. I dashed into the cabin, leaned against the door to brace against anyone trying to burst in. I knew two people, at least I hoped were two people, were coming, and they were going to not stop until they got inside the cabin. Another bolt of lightning flashed nearby, and the ensuing thunder shook the tower. Things were close. I glanced up and noticed that someone had carved another set of eyes staring at me just above the window. Only this time, they left a message with the picture. You watch us, but who's watching you? I could feel the hair on the back of my neck stand up. I swallowed hard as I heard two sets of footprints reaching the top of the landing. Sure enough, they charged into the door, pushing it open slightly. I braced hard against the door and started yelling, just the most primal screaming I've ever done. They kept thumping the door.
Boom, boom, boom.
Each thrust pushed the door a bit more and a bit more. I was struggling to hold out against them. I was tired and my socks were slippery on the wood. It was only a matter of time until they bursted through. I thought about my life. I thought about my parents, my friends, all the things I never got to do. Then the hair on my arms started to stand on end. Then my leg hair. Then my hair started to rise. Only it wasn't fear that was causing this. It was something much more primal, much more natural. Much more powerful. I dashed across the room and sat on the insulated stool, a beat-up wooden seat with glass legs, and held my feet up. As the door bursted open, I saw two sets of eyes staring at me. The two faces grinned, and the cabin light reflected off the blade of a knife. I screamed as everything went white, and what sounded like the sky splitting in two erupted around us. Lightning had struck the tower. I was safe. Glass and wood are shitty conductors, but the two men who were standing in the puddle weren't as lucky. The blast had shocked them and sent them tumbling down the side of the tower. When I opened my eyes, I could see the burnt marks across the pine and smell the fire that had been started. Without giving anything a second thought, I dashed out the door, carefully not to catch myself on fire, and ran down the stairs of the Sentinel. It may have taken me 10 minutes to climb up, but it took me about 2 minutes to get down. As soon as I hit the bottom landing, I saw the lights of the Gator carts pull up. I collapsed on the ground as Jonesy and the other Rangers rushed over to me. I glanced up and saw his face and started to sob. Above him, the flames licked and ate away the tower floor by floor. It would burn for over an hour. I later learned that the two men killed by the lightning were escaped convicts from the jail. Both of them had beaten up a guard, grabbed their clothes, and headed out into the woods 3 days earlier. The escape had been kept quiet because they didn't want to spook anyone and thought they would track them down in the woods sooner rather than later. Why scare people if you don't have to? Also, screw that noise. They both have been convicted of murder, and I swear to God, this is what the police told me. The criminals had ill intent for me. I told the officers I had gathered that. Thinking back, they probably watched me climb up the tower later and saw an easy target. When I'd first heard the footboards squeak outside the door, the criminal had followed me up had a quick decision to climb up onto the roof of the cabin to prevent me from seeing him until he was ready. I probably didn't hear anything on the roof because of the fan and the rain. I think about what he could have done to me if he had caught me by surprise, jumping down from the roof and shudder. At best, I'd be stabbed by a madman. At worst, I tumbled 10 stories to my death. Either way, not a great thing to linger on during idle hours. That was my last day as a ranger. I was due back to school in a few weeks, and I needed time to calm my nerves. Everyone understood. They even paid me for the week, which was nice. I also took a small part of the Sentinel as a memento of the ordeal. Every time I look at the piece of wood that I took from the tower, I was reminded of what could have happened to me, but instead of what I did to survive. Someone was watching me that night, but it wasn't just the criminals. It was nature herself.